Ordinary Fellowship is a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference, or spiritual conversation among believers. These spiritual conversations will offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me today, as always, is my co-host and friend, Matthew McLaughlin.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. Matthew, I think, is freezing to death because of the winter weather.
Yeah, not too bad.
But he's worried about next week.
It could be. Next week could be cold.
We'll see. It reminds him of Wisconsin.
It does.
We're excited today to have a special guest with us. James Reisner is with us. He's the Director of Missions for the Greater Dayton Association of Baptists. And he is here to talk to us about all things associational and maybe some things beyond that. So it's good to have you here, James.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's great to be here. Looking forward to talking with y'all.
I forgot to ask, or I forgot to say something. Is there anything you want to tell us about your family life, personal life?
Oh, sure.
Other than your director of mission things.
Right on. Absolutely. Yeah, so married to my wife, Jenny, and we have four children, and we love doing all kinds of things, outdoors, indoors, games. There's not much we don't enjoy doing, having a lot of new experiences. And yeah, it's a delight. I've been in this role for about the past year. Prior to that, I served about 21 years in vocational ministry. My dad planted a church when I was 2 years old, and I grew up in that context. And so, yeah, I've always had a love for the church. God's been kind to me in that way. And it's been a really neat journey to see what he's done here in the last year to be in this new role.
Did you go to Southern Seminary?
I did. I attended Southern from 2003 to 13 and gave them a lot of money and got two pieces of paper and a lot of excellent training. Southern was terrific.
You bailed yourself out there.
Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, that's right. Had a great experience there and taught at Boyce College, too, for about 8 years. Some of those years online, some in the classroom, and loved every minute of it.
Yeah, when you were nominated as the director of missions, it was interesting to look over your resume and see some of the things you had done. I was quite surprised at some of them. Didn't you
yes.
work for the former governor of Michigan?
Yeah, I was an intern in the speechwriter's office for Governor Engler.
Yes,
in Michigan. And so he wrote a book, and we did a lot of research and intern-type work for him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was a long time ago, 2001 or 2 maybe, something around there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we brought you here today to talk about associations. Matthew and I feel like the Baptist Association is probably the – not the most important level, but it's where the rubber meets the road, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure people understand that. We both come from an independent Baptist background.
Neat.
And, you know, our churches think that Nashville sends the sermons that you have to preach, and they pick your pastors and all those kind of
yes.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we really are going to talk about those myths. I know even in the Southern Baptist, there's probably some misunderstanding about what associations are.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to introduce other people outside of the SBC to what happens in a local area. You
mm-hmm.
know, we hear all the things on the national level.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear much about what's going on local level. So that's one of the reasons we want you to be here is
yeah.
so that you can help us get the word out about what associations
well, Jeremy,
are.
That's really crucial because you're right. The mainstream media loves to pick up on anything national that they can just drive a story with and get ratings and all the rest of what they do with that. And I do love associational life for many reasons, but one of them is because we are able to just do real ministry on a day-in, day-out basis and I suppose we, in some sense, fly under the radar of the mainstream media. I mean, I'm sure they would tear my life apart if I had any prominence in the SBC, like they do every other leader.
Yes.
But we're able to just keep our hand to the plow and focus on what's most important, and I appreciate that.
All right, so if you will, just take a few minutes to explain what is a local association?
Yes, so our local association, the Greater Dayton Association of Baptists, is a family that is about 100 churches, and we seek to flourish as churches. So we pursue health together. We cooperate together to encourage each other, equip and coach one another, and all these things that we do are driven by the Great Commission. So we're on mission together to make Jesus' name famous, to make disciples of Jesus, which is people leading people to know and follow him. And driven by that mission, we just embrace the idea that we're better together, that the very foundations of associationalism in the New Testament are still relevant and still God's plan for the church today.
Right. And one of the things that's important, I think, to note is that the churches cooperate voluntarily.
Absolutely.
We're in this association. Nobody's compelling us. So we voluntarily associate together. And even the association itself is independent, right? You don't have any hierarchy over you.
No, that's exactly right. Now, there is accountability, and we all embrace as our confessional statement the Baptist Faith and Message 2000.
Right.
But many of our churches have, in addition to the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, they have additional nuances, and
right.
they'll sometimes have other Baptistic confessions that they also right. embrace. And sometimes it's the stock confession from, for example, 1689, or sometimes they modify things in there. But the baseline is, yes, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. It's a voluntary association with accountability for biblical faithfulness
right.
on these second-level issues of the BF&M 2000.
Right. Because if there were someone who were doing something that were way off in left field, biblically speaking,
mm-hmm.
there's a way of the association dealing with that.
That's exactly right. It's the similar parallel is in a local church, you have church discipline in which the membership of the church follows 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and other places where church discipline is outlined, Matthew 18. But that's the correlation. So in associational life, if a church were to be outside the bounds of our confessional statement, then not me as the leader necessarily, but the churches, because they are the ones that possess the authority, would disfellowship themselves from that church since they're out of step with their voluntary agreement to work together on this confessional statement.
Right. This isn't the only reason, but this is one of the reasons that independent Baptists, I've left independent Baptists,
mm-hmm.
is because I felt like if I were to declare myself an independent Christian, that I didn't need the church, I would rightly be called on that, but yet somehow churches think that they can be independent churches without anyone else, without any association to anyone to keep them accountable. And I don't see how, if you can't declare yourself an independent Christian, how you can declare yourself an independent church where there's no association, no fellowship, and no accountability with anyone else.
That's a good point,
Jeremy. Dangerous, I think.
Yeah, good observation. I have found in my experience that some independent Baptist churches do fellowship with other churches and do have informal partnerships. But ultimately, I think you're right, Jeremy. I agree with you that they would benefit themselves. They would be more in step with God's design for the church if they would covenant together with other churches.
Right. And I don't mean to say that there aren't other associations or fellowships that people could be involved in. But I know there are some churches that
yes.
just us.
That's absolutely right.
And
yep.
that to do anything else would be to compromise. And
mm-hmm.
and that
yep.
that troubles me.
Well, because in some of those cases, I've observed that the spirit behind that is one of elitism. We're the only ones that have it together. That can be the spirit behind that. I'm not making that blanket statement about all independent churches, of course, because
yeah.
I know many who don't
right.
feel that way. But that if that's the spirit behind it, that yes, we're the only church that's got anything together.
And I'm
dangerous.
I'm saying independent Baptist, but Southern Baptist can fall into that too, can't they?
Absolutely.
We're not beyond that.
Listen, we've got plenty of faults and flaws ourselves, and if any of us had those kinds of attitudes as well, we would be in great, terrible danger.
And I say that because I you're trying to make it clear that we're not picking on independent Baptists.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I don't want to be either. So,
yes.
You know, it's not just that independent Baptist, but in my experience,
sure,
it tends to be there more than elsewhere.
And Jeremy, that's a fair caveat, is to say each of our own experiences with independent Baptists is different.
Right.
And so, yeah, we want to be careful to love the brothers.
And I could say a lot of good things about them too, but
100%.
I think this is one of the struggles, and it helped me to see the value of local associations.
Amen. Absolutely.
So I was going to ask you something else, but since this is a good segue, mm-hmm. we've already talked a little bit about what the value of the association is, namely accountability. What other value is there to local churches to be part of an association?
Yeah.
A local association.
Absolutely. So I'll just speak from our experience in the GDAB, and that is the three main focal points that we are trying to add value to one another is, number one, to encourage pastors. We believe that healthy churches who multiply are led by healthy pastors. And so we invest in pastors. We seek to encourage pastors. The Greek word paraklesis, to come alongside, to come to one's aid, is the ministry that we engage. And we, as the GDAB, we don't just do this as an institution. In other words, our 100 churches in our GDAB family, they don't hire us to do the job, but they hire us to help facilitate that, to equip them. Similar to how a pastor equips the saints for the work of the ministry, we also, the GDAB staff, we embrace that kind of a role to say, hey, we want to equip pastors to engage one another and to cultivate a spirit of brotherhood, a fellowship of strength together, encouragement together, celebrating together, weeping with those who weep, celebrating with those who celebrate, mourning with those who mourn, strategizing and working together with those who are willing. And so that's our number one focus, is healthy pastors. So that's one value add that we seek to add. And then the second one would be equipping churches. So one change, a shift that we've seen in associational life in the last few decades has been away from material resources to resources that are better described as human capital. So what I mean by that is, in the past, an association would be really central to distributing curriculum and books and VHS and cassette tapes and other things from my childhood, to be honest. And that was necessary back then. We didn't have the internet. That wasn't invented until a little later, right? And so we've had a big shift with technology now. And there are so many platforms, and there are so many conferences, and there are so many things available to churches and pastors, so much so that material resources are something that we still do, but it's not our primary focus point. We still do share collectively things like block party trailers and movie screens and projectors, and that we do have a handful of Bible studies and resources that are somewhat sparingly used, but we focus now more on building relationships in specifically in the discipline of coaching, which is an often misunderstood and defined differently by many different people. But the bottom line of our coaching approach is to connect experienced pastors with another pastor or church leader who is presented with a particular challenge that they're struggling to solve. So we have some churches in our association that they really struggle with administrative things like having a church budget or organizing that budget or running an effective members meeting. And so we just try to connect experienced pastors who know those kinds of things well to help guide them along the way. So sometimes our coaching is very direct, and we'll give them a set of resources or tell them, well, here are several steps that you can take to get from here to there. In some cases, it's very indirect. It's more focused on the relationship and leading the person to pray, seek God's word on the next step of, how do I lead my church from being disengaged with our neighborhood to being engaged for the sake of the Great Commission, right? So how do I help my church become more evangelistic? And so we'll connect an experienced pastor with the inexperienced pastor to say, well, here's some things that worked here, but let's talk through your neighborhood. Let me listen to what your current reality is. Who are your people? What are your challenges? And they walk through that with them. The third and final way, though, is with church planting primarily. And the goal there is that we would see the gospel grow. We would see the gospel continue to grow in the lives in whom that seed has been planted and already borne fruit. But we would also see the gospel grow and expand, not just in quality of disciples growing in Christ, but in quantity of reaching additional people. And one of the most effective ways to do that is through planting churches. And so we are building up a team of pastors who are passionate about planting so that we can work together to do that and strategically be more effective together than we are apart.
Speaking of those three values, one of the things that I was encouraged by is that during recently, the GDEV went through some changes.
Yes.
And one of the things goes back to what you were talking about, the building the human capital.
Yeah.
So building human capital in the sense that realizing that pastors aren't islands to themselves and that they need help. So
yes.
Me coming from a counseling background, It's an encouragement. So can you speak of some of the other changes that have occurred recently in the GDEV?
Yes, absolutely. And this is something that, brother, came about over the last few years. We in the GDEV had experienced disengagement from many of our pastors, and it's a common experience across associational life in the SBC. And so many associations have acknowledged that, recognized that, and they've said, we got to do some things different. We need to listen better, and we need to adapt better to our changing culture and environment. And so remaining biblically faithful and pressing forward with innovation and ideas. And so about 3 years ago, the associational leader who had retired just before me, he led our association to restructure our constitution and to cultivate a spirit of deep change. In other words, just this idea that we can't stay static. We can't just live in the past or only celebrate the past and what it used to be, but we got to realize that our environment and our situation is rapidly changing. And so he led us to do that, and Some of the other changes, in addition to just restructuring our constitution to focus on these three key values of encouraging pastors, equipping churches and their leaders, and for the sake of multiplying the gospel, is that we have sought to make, I suppose the best way to say it, brother, is to say that we've sought to revitalize the ancient idea that our partnership in the gospel is first and foremost relational. And so from my vantage point, I'm fairly young, just turned 40 last year. And from my vantage point, though, it does seem that one of the ways in which we lost our way was, both in the church and in associational life, was maybe to focus more on stuff rather than people. So it's not a new idea, it's a New Testament idea. But that's the big cultural shift that I think that we're embracing, the deep change to have conversations with people across the aisle and deal with problems and challenges that we see, whether doctrinal or behavioral, ethical, dealing with them with real people. Social media hasn't helped this at all. Mainstream media has not helped this at all. We tend to talk past one another instead of with one another and to one another and listen to one another. And so we've noticed that that's especially important in today's time, which is one of the reasons I'm so encouraged by your podcast, because it gets those conversations generated in a really healthy way. It's the podcast is a conversation starting point, right?
Right.
To say, hey, let's talk more about this. We've got progress to make together.
Right. I think one of the quotes that has stuck in my head ever since school was Paul Tripp has a quote that you walk with God's community project.
Amen.
And I think I think we, in American culture, fight that idea with every fiber of our being. Mm-hmm. We tend to grasp hold of, I guess what I've heard called John Wayne Christianity. Mm-hmm. That you pull yourself up by your bootstraps mm-hmm. and handle it all individualized. And that's one of the things that I've appreciated greatly about some the changes in the GDIB is there is a sense where we're better together than we are separate.
Amen.
And that the relationships are voluntary, but they're important. It's important to have those relationships. So we've kind of talked about associational life broadly. So if you could, how would you describe, like, what is your job? What is the job of the director of missions?
Yes.
So what do you do?
Yeah, great question. And a brief word about nomenclature here.
Right.
Director of missions has been the most dominant title for the person in my role. We've seen a pretty significant shift, though, and there's some great studies done on this, by the way, in the last few years. Each association chooses what they call their dude, their main leader. And that's just, to Jeremy's point earlier, that's just good old Baptist life, right? Autonomy, cooperative autonomy. And so in the GDAB, they call me the associational missionary. Many SBC churches refer to their associational leader as the AMS, Associational Missionary Strategist. And so you also find executive director in some areas, but that's another conversation for another day.
Church planting catalyst.
There you go, church planting catalyst. And then many associations will hire a separate guy, maybe part-time, maybe full-time, but he'll be the church planting catalyst. And he'll be a staff member, but not the primary leader. So you get the idea here in all these different terms that there's a lot of diversity, which, again, is part of the beauty of the SBC. There is a lot of diversity, and often it can be one of our great challenges as well. So I'll speak to what we do here in the GDAB and how I've been finding my role and trying to do it at the prompt and the need of our churches. In other words, our 100 churches here have some unique needs and unique characteristics that I've tried to listen well to. And in other words, there's no cookie cutter DOM role,
right?
And again, that's part of that beauty of relationships. We're very local here, and we're very focused on the greater Dayton area. So in my role as associational missionary, one of my primary aims is to be a team builder. And we have several teams of people, some of them staff, some of them not. But making sure that our teams operate efficiently to accomplish our vision and mission of seeing healthy pastors lead thriving churches to multiply the gospel. And so we have a team, for example, this one's volunteer, called the Christian Life and Resolutions Committee. They deal with current issues, raising them to awareness for pastors, saying, hey guys, this is an issue that's coming down the pike and you need to be aware of this. Respond biblically to it. Here's some tools to help you in this conversation. And that might even be a topic we talk through today is critical race theory, intersectionality, some of these kinds of things. So our Christian Life and Resolutions Committee is made up of four pastors in the Greater Dayton Association. And two of them are senior pastors, two of them are associate pastors or elders. And so yeah, that's one of our teams. And then the other folks, the other teams, they deal with some things that are purely administrative of personnel and finance and budget, some of those types of things. One of our part-time staff people is a coaching team leader. He's a local pastor. And another staff person is our planting team leader. Again, full-time local pastor. He leads our planting team. And then a part-time resource manager, and he helps keep everything in working order with reservations and things like that. So one of the key things of my job is to pull this team of people, of which there are many, many others, but to pull us all together and keep us on track, cast vision, and lead side by side with them as a lead servant, really. One of the myths, I suppose, Jeremy, that you spoke of earlier, or misconceptions, is that my job is one of that possesses some level of authority. Right. And this is common in other denominations, where a person in my comparable role would actually tell churches what to do, or tell them what to preach, or you know, these kinds of things. But I do not. Churches don't look to me for affirmation of, well, should we do this or should we do that? I'm happy to provide counsel, consultation, encouragement, and those kind of things, and I do on a very frequent basis. But I always like to clarify, God has given you the authority to do what you need to do in your local church. And so carry on, and I'm more of a lead servant than I am a leader in the sense of directing people or directing churches with what to do. So
I think that if you tried to tell some churches what to do, they might show you the door.
That's right. Well,
who do you think you are?
Jeremy, that's
cuz they know that they're
yes.
They're independent, autonomous churches cooperating together for the gospel, and if you tried to tell them otherwise, they may not take that very well.
That's
even
right.
If they agree with you, they might think, who are you?
In fact, Jeremy, I think that's the best way to get a Baptist not to do something is tell them to do it. You know.
Yep. I think you're right.
We do indeed work diligently to minimize autonomous hierarchy.
Right.
In other words, churches don't seek the approval of the GDAB or me, but we do seek to pursue biblical faithfulness together.
Right.
So that's when we would have a fight, is something on the centrality of the gospel of Christ, for example.
Right.
And we would say, brother, if you're not on the same page here, there's other places for you to be. This is
right.
Not the family for you. But, yeah, what time you have your services, what you're preaching from, what translation of the Bible you're using, these are questions that are third-level issues that each church decides for themselves.
Yeah.
We thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, a ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. For more information about Two Rivers, please visit our website at www.tworiverscc.org. We'd like to thank Dr. James Reisner for joining us for this episode. For more information about the Greater Dayton Association of Baptists, you can find it on their website at gdab.org. We look forward to those questions, your comments, and even that dreaded hate mail at ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship. But for now, we thank you once again for listening to Ordinary Fellowship, where we strive to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.